Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts, sports journalist David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves, chillin', talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast, another special edition of the Terrible Podcast, Pittsburgh Steelers Training Camp 2018. It is July 30th. It is Monday night. It is 6:30 in Las Vegas, Nevada. That means it's 9:30 where my co-host is, and that's Alex Cazora, fresh from his fifth day in a row at La Trobe. He's going to get a day off tomorrow with the rest of the players. Alex, happy Monday.
Oh, that's a rare time that I'm mentioned with professional NFL players, but I appreciate the, I guess, compliment.
Look, you went out there thinking, or you did get rained on a little bit there, but I mean, I know even as far as, you know, last night you were thinking, I don't know if they're going to get this one in, but a little bit of rain and then cleared up.
Yeah, so the important part, the practice part, by then it had cleared up, and so that didn't affect the notes. And yeah, it was a good day of practice. And I know we're only getting to the injury report. I can let you lead that off, Dave. But it looks like they're all minor, so thank goodness for that.
Yeah, it does. It really does. People coming up and saying hi to you. Are you a rock star out there at St. Vincent College again?
Yeah, I've had a couple people come up, so that's always nice. It's been – the Steelers Nation is just the best, so very flattering.
And I've been looking at the stats of our special edition podcast, and we got some diehard listeners. I'm here to tell you, it just amazes me every time when I look at some of this stuff. I probably don't study my stats as much as I could or should, but when I look at it, it's like, wow. As you mentioned – quite a few players did not practice on Monday. We had probably a pretty good notion that that was going to happen based on the people that were not able to finish the Sunday session. So, in short, it was T.J. Watt with a hamstring, Sean Davis with a groin, tight end Vance McDonald with a foot, outside linebacker Ola Denier, undisclosed. You seem to think it might have been concussion, but I know Denier tweeted you tonight.
Official report.
Yeah, the official report says he's Gucci, and I guess Gucci means good. How do you do, fellow kids?
Yeah, I thought you were going to go with that, or it's Lit Fam. We won't be at that one.
Yeah, Lit. I guess it's Lit Fam he's going to be Gucci. And so hopefully he's going to be back on Wednesday. He didn't. At least he could have told us he had a concussion or something to see if we're right. But no, he didn't go that far. I worry sometimes when these players get on Twitter, especially these young players, tweeting out information about injury or stuff or whether or not they're going to go, because that's a big no-no in Mike Tomlin's world. Juju Smith-Schuster, it looked like he, I think you and Tim were the ones to point that out, had a wrap on that knee. Now, going into today, we did not know. It was undisclosed, but judging by him having a wrap on his knee and him not practicing, I'm going to put two and two together and get five. And that meaning his knee. So we think that's a problem. Now, he had a procedure in one of those knees, right? We think this offseason, and that's kind of what held him out of some early, what was it, OTA practices. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know. I can't remember if it was the same knee, but I think last year he had some problems in camp, a knee or something like that.
Last year, I think, was a left knee issue.
Was it last year knee issue?
So Mel said.
Right. So hopefully it's nothing serious there. The good news is we had no roster moves today ahead of things, so that's normally a good sign. And then after practice, Mike Tomlin said the other guys are nursing more short-term injuries. We'll manage those guys day to day. We'll see what those guys look like as we come out of tomorrow's off day, with an eye toward at least partial participation in some form or fashion when they come back. So hopefully a few of these guys are going to be partial on Wednesday. One guy was back in pads, partial on, I lose track of my days, on Monday today, and that was safety Morgan Burnett, but it doesn't sound like he did too terribly much. Maybe stretch line and a few maybe individuals, I guess, and that was it with him. Ramon Foster, of course, going to be sidelined a while with that knee. Mike Tomlin told us what we already knew after practice with him, a hyperextension and a bruise on his right knee, and they're speculating it could be 4 weeks or so with him. Eli Rogers is still on active PUP. Did I get everything?
Yep, I think you got everything. Yeah, just real quick, my two cents with the injuries to Watt and Juju and Davis. None of them seem serious, and I didn't see McDonald on the field, so I got a little concerned, but Tomlin calling it short-term and minor is definitely good news. But I think just with the off day tomorrow, with kind of a wet field today, you don't want to put these guys on in that situation and someone aggravate an existing injury. So you have the off day tomorrow, you get back at it Wednesday. So, you know, generally speaking, healthy. Yeah, Burnett did not do team, did not do, I think, one-on-one, so he must have done just individual and some of the very basic stuff, but good to get him in pads again. He'll probably be full go for Wednesday.
And Artie Burns failed to finish today. Groin, they think. You know me, I hate to speculate about groins. Mike Tomlin was asked about that. His media session was a minute 52 seconds. His opening statement was a minute 39.
So what, one question?
So one question. That's all the media decided. That they
what was the question?
You know, something about Artie Burns.
So just an injury thing.
Yeah, just I don't get these guys sometimes. Anyway, Mike Tomlin says nothing significant. They are one of those day-to-day type things. And that was it in the press conference. And so here we are. Of those guys, I'm still worried about Vance McDonald the most, especially the fact that you didn't see him today. But, you know, like I said, no transactions. Hopefully that holds true into tomorrow and on into Wednesday, and hopefully they get some of these guys back going again.
Yeah, and so we'll focus on the guys that are healthy. I'll steal a line from Tomlin. Let's do it.
There you go. Great segue there, and let's start with the offensive line. I think B.J. Finney bumped an elbow or something, you said, at the start of practice. It looked like the day was going to go in the wrong direction again, and I thought the most interesting thing about that came after that is Matt Filer shifted over to left guard, and that meant right guard was –
Well, what happened was it was Finney that went down briefly with a right elbow for the first team. So Filer just jumped in left guard for the first team, and then he came back to the second team right guard spot.
I got you.
And then Finney came back in and was in and out. But there was some shuffling along the offensive line today. You saw Filer get the work at left guard. B.J. Finney got work at center, moved Parker Collins to left guard. So I think maybe when these guys come back for Wednesday, possibly, you're going to see some more kind of shifting around. But, yeah, Finney getting that center guard versatility and Filer getting some work as well. And now Collins kicking out to guard.
All right, and still Patrick Morris, nothing but center, right?
Yeah. Those are the only guys I think that have moved so far, the three I just mentioned, and everyone else has been static. But again, that's going to change here probably within the next week.
All right. Anything stick out in the one-on-ones or whatnot?
I will say in the team session, the run offensive line did a better job in that first team session. After seven shots, Marcus Gilbert had a key down block. I think it was on, I believe, Chicolo that sprung Connor for a touchdown run. We'll get into that when we get with the running backs. But it was good to see the run game be a little bit more successful after just an objectively terrible day yesterday in that session. But beyond that, no one else stuck out a whole lot, good or bad.
Okay, tight ends. No Vance McDonald. Doesn't sound like there's too much after Jesse and Grimble. Grimble having a nice camp?
He's starting to turn it on. He had a good day yesterday. Today he had another, I think it was seven shots. He had a slant across the middle from, I believe, Ben, and caught it, you know, away from his body with coverage on him and caught it for the touchdown. So he's kind of getting some splash plays that you want to see from a guy like him. Yeah, I think his blocking has been good. And again, we've talked about it before, the talent's there, trying to find that consistency. And you're right, Dave, beyond that. Man, I wish Jake McGee was healthy just to give this group a fourth that could, you know, be really competitive. But Malik has had his tough days. Scotland, Williamson, McEver can look pretty bad, pretty lost sometimes, which is expected. They're raw guys, they're young guys, haven't played the position for very long. But, yeah, it's top three, and then it's kind of the rest.
Yeah, poor Malik. And boy, you had to bring up Jake McGee, didn't you? That was a guy.
Twist the knife.
Yeah, that was – boy, he looked – I mean – for as good as a guy like him could be expected to look last year, I mean, he really stuck out on tape. You know what I thought? Yeah, I hate to sidetrack here, but I got a little depressed today, Alex.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I was thinking, man, at first I was excited. You know, preseason games are coming, and I thought, oh, yeah, we don't have all 22 with the with the preseason games. So I got a little bit depressed because there's only so much you can see on the game tape. And to think back years ago, I used to grade offensive linemen every you probably remember some of the posts. I used to grade offensive linemen every game based on TV tape alone.
Ooh, that's tough.
Oh, and now here we are. You know, you would think we already pay now for all 22 during the season. Why not just give us the all 22 of the preseason there? I mean, what is it really going to hurt? Half of these guys are going to be back moving furniture, you know, by the start of the regular season there. But anyway, yeah, there's just not, you know, just thinking back about Jake McGee and how great he looked on the move and as a blocker, it'd be nice to have him in camp right now and being down one man right now in Vance McDonald. Yeah, I bet it's not a position you want to spend much more time talking about here.
Right.
So with that, let's go to the running backs. James Conner did have a very nice run. It looked like off of, I don't know, right tackle, right guard.
Yeah, like I said, it was Gilbert that had the key down block, and Conner went off his outside hip, and Joe Hayden missed the tackle. Conner ran through it, and then I think it was Burhey that he beat one-on-one. I think Burhey probably didn't take the greatest angle, and Conner went 55 yards the other way. So you're talking about Conner losing some weight, gaining some speed. You kind of saw it on that play. So I know I've gushed about James Conner. Feels like after every practice, but I mean, I think if anyone is out there watching him, you're coming away with the same impression. And again, it's not about that he's going to siphon snaps away from Le'Veon Bell. That's just not going to happen. But can you find ways to get him on the field? Can you find some ways to get Jalen Samuels on the field? So if you're not getting the greatest production from your tight ends or your slot receiver or James Washington or someone gets hurt, you have those options. So I thought another really good day for James Conner.
I was going to ask you who the safety was on that play. I was hoping you were going to tell me it was somebody way on down the depth chart there because you can't see the number.
It's either Burhey or Edmonds, but I'm pretty sure it's Burhey because he was doing more single high than Edmonds.
Okay, well, hopefully it was I guess I should be hopefully wishing it's Burhey then, right?
Yeah, probably better than Edmonds.
Samuels.
Anything
that, you know, he had to quote today. I guess they were ribbing him a little bit about, you know, how he looked the other day in the backs on backers drill. And look, we told people this was coming with him. I mean, none of this should be a surprise with him. And we just talked about the other day about him saying, yeah, I want to show people I got the physicality. And all. You can have the physicality. You can have the want to. But, you know, if you haven't done it, you haven't done it. And this was his response to Ed Bouchette during the scrum early today, talking about, you didn't do that very much at North Carolina State, did you? And he goes, no, I was getting the ball. Either I was in the route or I was either getting the ball. They really didn't ask me to do too much pass protection. So, not a surprise there. But, I mean, I think he said that he's doing some stuff in the F position, probably still working with the running backs as a true running back. Is there any has he stuck out any way to you, you know, that's in a way worth really noting?
Well, I think in a couple ways. One, just the versatility, playing different spots, you know, true running back, a slot receiver, an outside receiver, and mixing in with the ones that way. I think they want to get a look at him. I think the vision's been nice. His ability to cut and get upfield and get downhill, you're not seeing a whole lot of dancing with him. So those are impressive traits. I do want to see him maybe hit the hole a little bit harder on some of these power runs, not where they're zone runs where you're reading, but you're just trying to pressure a gap and get upfield. A little bit of hesitation, but that's natural for a rookie running back. Again, though, I think overall it's been a solid body of work for, you know, a rookie to wear that many hats coming into the NFL, doing things he hasn't done before, like pass protection, something he hasn't done since 2015 pretty much. I think that's a lot on his plate and not for a top-tier first-round pick that makes it all the more difficult. But, you know, I think he's doing a decent job.
You know, on his tape, when it came to – things that got recorded for reception for him. There, he had quite a few jet sweeps. Mm-hmm. He had quite a few shovel passes in there too, lined up as an H-back. The jet sweep type, you know, forward tosses real quick usually came with him out of like the slot or whatnot. Have you seen them do anything like that with him? I mean, it's not the type of thing that you're going to run seven times right during practice, but I mean, have you even seen an instance or two of it?
No, nothing like that. But, you know, that's just the way the difference between the college offense and the NFL. They're not going to really do that much in the NFL. I mean, if they're doing a jet sweep or an end around, it's going to a speedy receiver and not a running back.
Yeah, but would you like to see him? I mean, you know, more of that Kansas City offense, that window dressing kind of stuff. Would you like to see more of that? I mean, I don't think we are, but.
Right. Maybe some more of the window dressing, but I don't really care about the jet sweeps too much. There's no Tyreek Hill kind of player on this team that's going to give you that kind of dynamic capability. So I'm fine with what they're doing right now.
Okay, you done with the running backs?
I just want to mention two other quick things. I thought James Summers showed some toughness as a runner, another straight line kind of guy playing his size. I think he's like 230 or something. Then Jarvion Franklin, a little flash today, a good cut in space to make Jamar Summers miss. And so you're seeing a little bit of pop from him. He's, again, kind of buried on the depth chart right now, but first time he kind of perked up for me today.
Okay, wide receivers. We keep seeing Damon Patterson's name pop up. It sounds like he had another decent day, and it sounds like Hunter might have had a decent day. Am I correct?
Yeah, Hunter's big plays came, and this will be a shock to you, but one-on-ones when it's not real football. catching a pass over to Sean Phillips, another one I think he had back of the end zone versus I forget who the corner was. But so, you know, it's impressive objectively, but it's also one-on-ones and areas you would expect Hunter to win. He's still doing okay in team drills, but it's not nearly as spectacular. And Ben actually got mad at him today. I didn't hear the whole context of it, but Ben did a vertical shot down the right sideline, and I guess Hunter didn't look back for the football and find it. And I think Ben was yelling at him to look for the ball because it happened on back-to-back reps with another receiver and then with Hunter. So Ben, not the happiest camper today.
You know who else did that last year, right?
Martavis. Yeah. Now Ben liked Martavis though. Maybe Hunter a little less.
Yeah. And remember, I mean, there were at least two plays last year with Hunter.
Bengals game. With Hunter.
Yeah, yeah, with Hunter wrong assignment.
Was there? I can't remember.
I know of at least one. I think there was two. That got the ire. I mean, it was I think like you pointed out one of them.
I'm sure. I just don't remember. I'm camp.
Well, he only had like 60 snaps all season, so it wasn't like it's hard to probably to go right to him or whatnot. Right. Of course, you know, on our charting and all like that. What I know what I was going to ask you, and because there's been a little bit of buzz about him, I bumped up the profile that you did on Patterson right after what was it rookie minicamp when he was signed. I put that back on Twitter tonight. What have you learned about him since camp open, since that write-up? Yeah, can you differentiate or no?
I think he's similar to how he profiled coming out of Youngstown State. I think the body control is impressive, ability to contort his body, find the ball, and make tough catches, you know, combatively. I think you're seeing the vertical speed, which is what we saw at Youngstown State. He averaged a healthy number with the Penguins last season. So I think maybe the biggest thing is just the body control you're seeing in the hands, but I think it's fairly similar to how I profiled him coming out.
Yeah, I just wish we had more tape on him, right? I mean, there's only like what, two games?
Yeah, and he played in a run oriented offense. Youngstown State was who's the coach of that? Bo Pelini, I think, is the coach there, and that's not Nebraska kind of scheme where you're running the football a lot. They had a fullback, you know, they had two tight end sets, so it was kind of a vertical or nothing attack for the receivers. But again, a guy that's an impressive resume, starting receiver, starting X, and then running down kicks, running down punts. You don't see that very often, and so that's a guy that has the humility. To buy into special teams and be a capable coverage guy. And that's something a lot of college players struggle with because in college they're the stars. They're the number one guys. They get to have the glory. You don't have to do the dirty work. And Patterson wasn't cut from that cloth. He's a, you know, salt of the earth kind of receiver. And that's a, you know, unique and I think an area this team is targeted by bringing in guys like Tevin Jones and Trey Griffey who have similar backgrounds. But Patterson, to me, has separated himself from all those guys.
All right. That's good news there. All right. The defensive line. How's Rosie doing much?
Yesterday, I think he was. He had a couple nice catches, and he juked Huguenin out of his jock on one play. It was pretty cool. But he's Rosie. I mean, he's going to block and crack skulls, and that's what Rosie next is going to do.
I'd rather just keep him in bubble wrap right now because yeah. They don't have – I mean, who would be your backup? I mean, who would play that role?
In the preseason or regular season?
I mean, period.
Well, either. Preseason, it's Ryan Mallick, which regular season they probably just wouldn't have one. You know, you just go with multiple tight ends.
Yeah, and you go back to last year. I mean, a good game for him anyway is 10 snaps, right, Rosie?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I mean, it's not like you use him a lot. I mean, more than anything, boy, he really makes an impact on special teams for sure too. He gets so upset when he almost he almost had what, three of them last year? Three block punts? Is that right? You remember?
He got close. I think he had the one, or he got real close. I can't remember for sure. But he's a threat. He's a guy you have to account for if you're a special teams coach. He wreaks a lot of havoc.
All right, defensive line.
I mentioned Casey Sales again, doing some good stuff in the run period. Just has, yeah, he's a little trigger happy. Jumping off sides, I think in O line, D line, and I think again in team drill today, and he did that yesterday as well. But I compared him a little bit to, like, on the low end of Brian Arnfeldt, who's kind of like a 53-man roster bubble guy, and then like on the high end of Nick Eason, a guy that can make the roster as a run stuffer. But yeah, seeing a little something from Casey Sales, and you know, here's a name I want to mention that honestly, and I don't want to eat crow yet because it's July 30th, but Daniel McCullers keeps doing some positive things, pushing the pocket, holding his own against the run. If I was doing a 53 today, I would put McCullers on my 53-man roster.
Wow. Really?
And that's not even a terrible thing. It's not saying that other guys aren't doing well. It's not even that he's doing terrible. It's, you know, I'm not saying we're seeing a starting nose tackle in the league, but maybe we're seeing a guy finally worthy of a 53-man roster spot.
Is it more, Carl? I mean, what is John Mitchell not doing this year that he's done in years past? Obviously, Carl Dunbar is there now. I mean, is it more Carl Dunbar hands-on than Mitchell? I mean, have you is there a noticeable change of what's happening on a daily basis when it comes to defensive line?
It's hard for me to say. I mean, I really couldn't give you a good answer. That's again a great question that I would love somebody to be able to ask Tomlin. I mean, you don't talk to guys like Dunbar too often, but you know,
they could have asked Mike Tomlin that today with all that free time, couldn't they?
Right. So it's hard to say for sure. I mean, Dunbar and Mitchell, I think, have similar philosophies. I think Dunbar really preaches hand use and disengaging from blocks, but I'm sure Mitchell did as well. They're a little different stylistically, where Dunbar is a little bit softer and still, you know, high expectations and a high demand, but just a little less of the tough love. But I think they're similar guys. They want guys to be good teammates and be high effort players and be versatile and win with their hands. So I don't know what's different there or if just the way – maybe – here, how about this, Dave? I think maybe Dunbar has a bit of a softer approach that kind of meshes with McCullers, a little bit more mellow attitude than Mitchell, who's a very much a tough love kind of guy. So maybe it's just, you know, because some guys need to be coddled. Maybe McCullers needed to be coddled a little bit more to kind of bring something out of him, just a guess on my part.
Are they running to the football?
You know it. Yeah, LT Walton chasing down. And again, same thing under Dunbar, just like Mitchell. You better get your butt to the football no matter where you're at.
You know, LT Walton's a guy we haven't talked much about the first 5 days.
It's been good. I think he's stuffing the run well. I mean, that's kind of his MO. He's pretty much maxed out as well. He's going to be a run stuffer. That's why he gets some nose tackle snaps. He's going to play some end. He's going to be a high-effort guy. He's going to be someone that competes against the run. It's going to give you little as a pass rusher. He's underdeveloped his hand use in that regard. He's not great. He's a marginal athlete, but he's found a niche, and he does it well.
Okay. You want to go outside linebackers?
Yeah, not a whole lot.
You're missing two today.
Yeah, not a whole lot because of the injuries there. I thought Adams and Dupree did some nice things against the run. Not a lot of pressure from those guys today, and I did not watch them in the whatever drill they were doing, running back, tight end versus linebacker. I was watching receivers, DB, so I don't have much there. Just more reps, though, for Keon Adams. Farrington Huguenin's now running second team right outside linebacker. Chicola bumps the first team left outside opposite of Dupree with Watt down. But, yeah, not a lot there. I thought the run defense, though, was good.
Okay, what have you learned anything about Keon Adams in 5 days that maybe you didn't know?
I think the only thing that I've noticed, and that's not saying that he's not doing something or is doing something or whatever the case is, I just don't always see it all, but I think the hand use is nice. So you're seeing a first step combined with good hand use, quick, violent hands. He's able to disengage. He's rarely stuck on a block as a pass rusher, and he can win outside and inside. So, you know, I think you're seeing some of the building blocks of a potentially successful pass rusher. So, of course, you want to see him more. You want to get this guy in the game. You didn't see it last year before he went down with that shoulder surgery. It was a torn labrum, I think. So you want to get him in a game before you get too crazy with an evaluation. But I'm seeing a first step, seeing some hand use, seeing a guy who stays clean. And those are, again, good traits for a pass rusher.
All right, inside linebacker.
Matthew Thomas walked through with an interception today. Now it was a bit of a lucky play on his part. Jamar Summers tipped the pass, and it came back to Thomas's hands. But you've seen some athleticism from him, covering sideline to sideline. That's impressive. Darnell Leslie's kind of in the same boat. Again, Dave, I kind of echo what I said yesterday, where I think all these guys are impressing in some respect. Medakevich is strong against the run. Bosick's a good tackler. You know, Fort is Fort. Thomas is showing athleticism. Leslie's continued to catch my eye. I know that these aren't the household names, and, you know, they'll be much more battle-tested in preseason and, of course, regular season action. But I think the competition is really bringing out the best in everybody.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how the lines go. If you had to draw it out right now, obviously probably Matakevich and Williams, and then Bostic, and I'm guessing who?
For a 53-man roster? Or
no, I'm talking for like second string preseason game. Who's running second? Okay. Who would be running second string? Buck and Mac.
First, I'll go through the teams here. First team, Buck. Vince Williams, first team Mac, Tyler Medakevich, second team Buck, John Bostic, second team Mac, LJ Fort, and then the third team, I'm not really sure who the Buck and the Mac is, but it'd be Matthew Thomas and Darnell Leslie, and then I guess that leaves fourth team with Keith Kelsey and Matt Colombos.
So they actually running, you know, Bostic a little bit more at the Buck in second team.
Well, I mean, it's hard to see for sure.
Who's strong and...
Right, but, you know, we know that Ford is more of the Mac type. When he played last year, he was the Mac, so that's kind of what I base it off of. But again, I do want to remind people that there's a lot of mixing and matching. You'll see Ford and... you'll see Bostic and Medakevich run first team. You'll see Bostic and Vince Williams run first team. I think, you know, some other guys will mix and match. So it's not a hard and fast depth chart. They put guys in different spots, just like... You talked about yesterday with Ferrier and Fiala, where they move guys around and see who succeeds where. So it's not a static thing. Rarely in any position, any depth chart in Pittsburgh is one guy going to play one spot. No one else does it. So especially when you have an open competition like this, you want to get guys different looks and running with different groups.
Right, absolutely. And the thing is, too, when I'm guessing next week next week is when the first official pregame depth chart will be released, right?
And that's before the first game, right?
Right. That's usually right. Tom, I don't know. When's Tomlin going to speak? Like Monday or Tuesday, in preparation for the game and whatnot. Then that depth chart gets released probably that morning and whatnot. And the worst thing, we'll write about it, but it don't mean anything. I mean,
right.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of
grain
of
salt.
Yeah, I mean, it's just seniority. It's usually just seniority. It's just because they have to submit one to the media more than anything. I think is related to that. Yeah. Heck, we've gone through preseasons before and seen, you know, third team guys make the team, you know, make the team without even running hardly second team. You know, so you got to pay attention more to the special teams and stuff like that as well too. Okay, what does that leave us? Defensive backs, right?
Yeah, corners. Joe Hayden did a nice job against AB. I think overall, both Burns and Hayden have held their own versus AB, but I think Hayden's really given AB a lot of fits and blanketing him vertically, just kind of that veteran guy that knows the nuances of the game and doesn't fall for AB's pushes and shoves and all those kind of little moves. Two other quick notes that are interesting, and again, maybe this is because the lines were a little short at safety today without Burnett and team and no Sean Davis, but Mike Hilton and Cam Sutton getting a little bit of work at free safety. So, you know, Hilton played some safety in college at Ole Miss. I think Sutton maybe did a little as well. He did at the Senior Bowl, and, of course, it's been talked about. So I don't know how much that's going to continue, but just something to keep back in your mind, those guys getting some safety work as well.
They're going to keep four safeties, aren't they?
Yeah.
Not five.
Are you, well, just you're we saying Marcus Allen automatically?
Yeah, our conversation last night, I think. I get confused if I talk to you about it or if I talk to I think we talked
yeah, we
about
talked
it
about
last
yep.
night, but You know, here we have had five safeties penciled in all the but let me tell you this, when it comes to Marcus Allen, Danny Smith better be pounding the table for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talked about that last night. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they're going to keep four. I don't know if I'd go that far, but I feel less confident about keeping Marcus Allen than I did going into this thing.
Okay.
But let's see how, again, special teams, we're not going to find that stuff out until the game starts, so too early for that talk.
And it's so hard for us to even track. That's another bad part about not having the All-22 during the preseason.
Because I
know one thing. I was you were talking about or you tweeted about upbacks and punt formation today. Fitz was first team upback.
He was. I didn't see them go to a second team. I may have missed it. I know in the past couple of days they've had Fitz and Nat Burhey, so the usual suspects there. But yeah, of course, you know, I love talking special teams, and you're talking about replacing Robert Golden, that all important up back personal protector spot, the quarterback of that punt team, that gets to the blocking set and snaps the football. So Toussaint was first team though, and I guess Burhey's still running second team.
What I know the answer to this, I know you know the answer to it, but I want to hear you say it anyway.
Okay.
What does it say about Fitzgerald Toussaint and him being a first team up back this early on?
Is the answer nothing? Is that what you?
What I'm headed at is you know they
trust him.
They trust him, and he has been a backup up back in previous preseasons. And we talk all the time about the an underrated notion about that kid is his blocking, and whether it be an up back or whether it be as a running back. I mean, you want to talk about a guy, it's going to be interesting. We have to watch that, I think, during the preseason, who lines up where and if Burhey can do the job. Now, Burhey seemingly did the job well with the Giants there, right? And now that you don't have Robert, I wonder how big of a change that is, having to change up back guys.
I'm sure it's a little different, but it's something that, you know, it's not insurmountable to overcome. No, it's a great point you make about Toussaint, though, because that up-back spot is kind of like a backs-on-backers drill. And who's better backs-on-backers than Fitzgerald Toussaint? Pretty much nobody. Outside of maybe Le'Veon Bell, of course, isn't there. So it's a great point. But I will say this, you know, the Steelers rolled out as their kick returners last year Juju Smith-Schuster and Terrell Watson, who did none of that in the preseason. So they'll make some changes last second of guys that didn't really rep it there. And Burhey's getting the time as well. So if Toussaint's caught, which is likely, Burhey's getting some reps there. He's done it before, and I think they have comfort with him doing that job.
Sure, but I mean, him being new and all, I mean, you would expect to see some of it. You would expect to see quite a bit of it, quite honestly, during the preseason, I would think.
Yeah, they'll both. I mean, it'll be like Toussaint first half and Burhey second half. They'll get reps, but I'm confident Burhey can pick things up. He's done it before. It's not a new position to him. It's a new team, obviously, but I think he can pick it up pretty quickly.
The punt line's unappealing, right?
Yeah, again, it's a weird thing, and obviously I think Eli Rogers would be in the mix if he wasn't on PUP right now, but you're getting Quadri Henderson, Justin Thomas, and Antonio Brown did field at least one punt today. So I feel like it's going to be either Eli Rogers, and if he's not ready to go for whatever reason or does not make it, they're going to go back to AB, because I can't really see Henderson or Thomas making the team. Maybe practice squad, one of them has a chance to get it, but and there's just no other options. Cam Sutton does the return line and at the start of practice, but he never jumps in for the actual special team sessions. So I don't know why Sutton's even getting the reps if they're not letting him do more of it during special team sessions.
Yeah, and look, I know the whole Mike Tomlin defensive players return, yada yada, and all like that. I'd like to see Cam Sutton get a shot at it.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen though.
I mean, he did a good job at it at Tennessee. You know,
I mean, no, I agree. I think he could, but Tomlin just. Shuts it down.
Yeah, I don't want to. I mean, I hope we see it a little bit. I mean, of course, how many punts are we going to see in total? How many going to be fair caught? I mean, how many do you get returned anyway? We forgot to talk about the quarterback position. That's pretty important.
Well, today I honestly don't have much in terms of notes. I can't even read my handwriting on what I wrote, which is not a surprise. But, yeah, nothing too crazy, good or bad. It's Ben will have, maybe a full day when they come back. He's on that, full day, half day, off day thing. But, you know, Dobbs, had one nice throw, but not a whole lot I can think of from that group.
All right, what are some plays that stuck out today?
Probably the two in team session, the Connor 55-yard run. Then they ran a flea flicker, which, you know, maybe we go back to a little gadgety stuff that you had under Ken Whisenhunt and you didn't really have with Todd Haley. Yeah, flea flicker, Connor flipping it back to Ben, who found AB for a 45-yard completion down the right side. So those are probably the top two plays. Edmonds gets his second interception. That was miscommunication, which was rare between Ben and AB. So two interceptions in 2 days for Terrell Edmonds. And probably about it. The Hunter catch in one-on-ones, the James Washington catch in one-on-ones, a great one-handed snag. You're seeing some of that from him. Probably those are the biggest ones.
Who was that, and I couldn't see the number, who was that blew the coverage on Washington on the double move?
Was that a team session? Or was
I think it was I think that was seven on did they do a 7-on-7 session?
They did. I didn't watch 7-on-7. Okay. That's when O-line, D-line happens, and I always watch that over 7-on-7.
All
right. I couldn't tell you.
All right. What do you got, Kat? You got us some nice stats to talk about tomorrow morning?
Yeah, I haven't compiled anything yet, but I do plan on tearing through the first 5 days of camp doing my numbers, and it's not the say-all end-all, but I like to compare this year to past years. I think the Steelers have picked off – I looked at the numbers last time. I think they picked off 6 passes, including Thomas's interception. No, 7, because Edmonds had a pick today. So I think they have 7 picks in 5 practices, which is fantastic. I think they had – what did they have last year? I forget the number, like 15 or something in 14 practices. So the defense is making some plays. I give them credit. And they won 7 shots for, I think, the 4th day in a row, which, hey, hats off to them.
All right. I would like to give a gold star to Bud Dupree, please. And
accept.
It's like giving a rose, right?
Hey, yeah, Bachelorette was on tonight. You watch a little
bit? No, no, I don't watch none of that mess. I don't have time to watch any of that mess. All right, winners, losers.
Again, we mentioned Patterson earlier. Matthew Thomas had the pick, and James Conner with the big run. So I'll give my roses as my Bachelorette reference to all those guys. For losers, I had trouble coming up with names. I thought Jamar Summers had a tip to create an interception, but kind of had some other problems in coverage. Then the backup tight ends, they look like backup tight ends, and I'll leave it at that.
All right, good enough. And the Steelers are off on Tuesday, and they'll get back at it on Wednesday, and Alex will be back out there. Let's see, it'll be Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday Night Lights, right?
Yep, absolutely. One other winner real quick, Tim Rice. It was his last day at camp. He may come up for Friday Night Lights. He's not sure yet, but Tim took some amazing photos. Got a lot of attention from AB and Edmonds, and I think even Big Ben's social media person retweeted one of the photos. So Tim Rice did an amazing job. Really helps bring fans closer to the action. So big props to him for helping us out.
Yeah, really, really some great photos from him. But he's Johnny on the spot, too. Somebody walking off or whatever. If you tweet out something, he's right behind you with a show. Like Artie Burns today, you know, on the side with a wrap on and all like that. Just little things like that.
We have our own little communication team. We're like, hey, Tim, Burns is on the sideline. Go get him. We're like, you see Juju, Tim? Or Tim will say something to me. Or so we have our own little huddle going on, basically.
Yeah, next year, maybe we can plan a little bit further ahead and get him out there. I know he's got to probably work and all too, but get him out there a little bit longer. But Tim, we love you. Another great job. I'll be putting up his photos from Monday, either later tonight or sometime Tuesday. So be on the lookout for those. And Alex, great job as usual. And in the meantime, you and I will be back after it again on Wednesday night. I'm actually going to have a day off without podcasts. So I'll be hunting and pecking on the computer, typing up a bunch of content tomorrow. And that'll be my work for tomorrow. In the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow Alex Cazora on Twitter at Alex_Cazora. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you like what we do and you want to donate to the cause, please go to SteelersDepot.com. Hit that donate button, upright navigational bar. Alex, you want to give a shout out to Lynn Tester real quick and let's close it out?
Yep, Lynn Tester from touringplans.com, a longtime sponsor, a great friend of the site, great friend of the show. If you're doing a trip to Disney, which I know is what a lot of people are planning for, especially when winter comes, I think we're 54 days away from fall. So when the temps start cooling off, you want to get away to Florida. That's the group you want to work through to kind of plan your trip, because it can be, you know, hectic and expensive and all that. So thank you to them for their continued support. And thank you again for Steelers Nation for being rock stars and supporting us. I think it's been a fantastic start to camp, Dave. And I don't mean to toot our own horn here too much, but I think we're doing a great job and giving the best coverage out there.
Well, I'm one blessed individual, am I not? I tell you, you guys do a great job. Matthew going to go on a little bit of well-deserved vacation this next week as well, too. We'll miss him for a week, but he helps keep the site going. Boy, Melanie, David Todd would help on the podcast, and Lord Daniel, Josh Carney. Go down the list here. Michael Reynolds during the season. I mean, I just got such great help on the site. And, you know, it wouldn't be anything without the listeners and without the people who visit the site as well, too. So thank you. Peace and love. Peace and love. And as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and tonight, Alex Cazora. Good night.